It's a classic game of Clue. Who done it, where they done it, and with which weapon they done it with.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say the ghost is that guy.
I'm willing to bet that's the case. Welcome to Cartoon Tonic. This is
actually
the
podcast. Pretty good, because you're on a delay. It scared me. Sorry, this is the podcast that we do what with?
I think we drink and watch cartoons.
We do.
I think that's what we do.
Most times, yes.
I want to say I am one of your hosts, Brian Deutschler. And I also want to say joining me, as always, is Miss Kayla and Mr. Josiah. And I believe I also say, how are you guys doing today?
Oh, and I think we normally say, yeah, we're good, we're fine. And we stumble around for a quick minute. And then I say something funny and ask Saya how he's doing. But, you know, truthfully, it's late in the summer of 2020 and we're still here doing a podcast. So take that as you will.
I'm going to have to fact check this. I don't know if any of this is right.
How you doing, Brian?
Terrible. I'm just going to be honest. You know, why keep lying to our listeners, you know?
Oh, we barely lie to our listeners. I don't know what you're talking about.
We constantly lie to our listeners. Like, it's all we do. And like, I'm doing pretty good, fucking liar. You are not doing good. No, I'm doing fine. Everything's cool. I'm excited about today's episode, which, I don't know, let's just get into it. What are we watching today?
Today we are going to be watching the Scooby-Doo Where Are You original series.
Yeah.
Yes.
Specifically, season 1, episode 16, and that is A Night of Fright is No Delight is the episode we're going to be watching.
Love that title.
I'm pumped for this one.
Love it.
Night of Fright is No Delight.
And, ended up picking this one because it has the classic trope of they have to stay in a haunted house in order to receive money, I guess.
An inheritance. Or something like that.
A very classic storyline found in many, many different television shows.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely want to jump into it. What are we drinking today? I'm drinking water because that's the day that I'm having. So what are you guys drinking?
Jesus. Well, our drink for the show, we're going to go back to a classic, and we are having a gin and tonic and lemon and lime and a little bit of grenadine. Ooh. So it's sort of a classic, and then we made it pink.
Yeah,
I like it. What kind of gin you guys got over there?
The botanical gin.
Nice. But that's an amazing gin.
Yes, and it's very good with all the sweet and tart notes that we have.
Yeah, because botanical is a little, it can be a little challenging, so I'm sure it can still break through the lemon, lime, and grenadine. I still have about a quarter of a bottle of Aviation that you guys gave me for my birthday. I'm savoring it because it's just like super
the
delicious.
The best gin ever.
It is great. Well, good. I'm going to enjoy my water. I'm going to continue doing that. Scooby-Doo to me has just always been. Does that make any sense? Like I can't remember being like this is the first time I saw Scooby-Doo. Like Scooby-Doo has just always been Scooby-Doo for as long as I can remember. There was Scooby-Doo. Do you guys feel similarly to that, or do you have any fond memories of the show?
I mean, that's kind of just a true statement, though. It's been around longer than we've been alive. Mm-hmm. And it's also been on TV consistently.
In varying forms. Whether it's the original Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Or the million spinoffs and movies that they have.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah, it's one of those cartoons that, like, even when I was little watching it, like, felt nostalgic in a way. Like it's weird, you appreciated the roots of this cartoon even back then. So I know we deal a lot in nostalgia and stuff, and that's not specifically why we pick these cartoons, but this one has always been, like Brian said.
It's a monolith. It has always been. I think, well, my strongest memory with Scooby-Doo is it's barely a memory, to be honest, but the episode where they have like the rock band that's made up of witches.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys remember that one or not.
I don't at all, but
it's
that sounds amazing.
It's not this episode. It is absolutely badass. So,
wait, do they like guitar on like a broomstick? Because that would be amazing.
I think there's like bats and broomsticks and very like cool, Halloween-y, cool, witchy themed stuff. Yeah. Very neat.
My memories all involve like I don't have any specifics of episodes, but you don't really need to. They all kind of had the same. Like whoever they introduced in the beginning of the episode, it's like they're the one they're gonna unmask later on.
That's the bad guy.
Not even joking, literally every episode. Yes. It's always like, well, it's Mr. Jenkins. It's always Mr. Jenkins. It's like, you know, I think I always, if it was on and there wasn't anything else to watch, I would sit there and watch Scooby-Doo. I don't remember like being obsessed with it or like loving it. I just remember like, oh, Scooby-Doo's on, I'll watch it. And maybe a little bit what Josiah said, having like that kind of respect for it. It's like, I respect you. I'm glad you're still around, you know,
but it's a good constant.
Yes, it's going to be a through line throughout our entire lives until we die, for sure. My best friend in like elementary school and middle school, he was a big Scooby-Doo fan. Had a dog that they named Scrappy, and like, so I remember he was like particularly into it. So I remember like a lot of late nights at like his house watching it quite a bit. But more close to home, my younger sister Macy, who may or may not be on the cast pretty soon here, was a huge Scooby-Doo fan when she was little.
Oh, yeah.
So much so that one of our nicknames for her was Macy Doo, because she was a big Scooby-Doo fan. Also that our last name is Doochler. So it just kind of worked. This world's just kind of collided.
It all ties together.
That would be my first guess, because of the last name, not because of a love of Scooby-Doo.
But also like, I'm pretty sure it was more like, actually, the live action movies that she was really, really into, because she is decently younger than me. And I think they just came out at around a time where it was like, this is my jam. I love this. Yeah.
I remember them being pretty good, the live action ones.
I didn't hate them. I thought they were fine.
Memories of the live action ones. No.
Yeah.
I remember like just very strong, like, marijuana references. I thought that was pretty cool. You know?
Like Scooby smoking marijuana?
I think in the first movie, if I remember correctly, like when they introduce Scooby and Shaggy, there's like this like hippie van, which I guess is like the mystery machine. Mm-hmm. And there's like smoke coming out of the top and there's like Rasta music playing. And then it like shows like in there, but they're actually just cooking food. You know, they're not, you know, so
it's just a nod.
Fun. I mean, you always thought that was kind of the side thought of like Shaggy
Scooby's
is that he's
subtle. Sure.
Oh yeah.
I mean, they always have the munchies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then lastly, I think it was still the first movie, they're on a plane and Shaggy meets his girl and he's like, Zoinks, like, what's your name? And then she goes, Mary Jane. He goes, that's like my favorite name. And I even remember being a kid.
That's like really on the nose.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's, you know.
And you know, there were some kids that were like, Mom, why isn't my name Mary Jane? And their mom was just shaking their head.
And their mom has like nom flashbacks of the day they were conceived. And she's like, nothing.
Jesus. She's like, shut up, heroin.
Oh, no. That was a bad one.
I never caught the dragon, but I caught a kid.
Oh, jeez.
I'm sorry.
Well, you guys want to hear a little bit about how Scooby-Doo came to be?
I do.
Let us have it.
Well, first, do you know what Scooby's real first name is, Brian?
I want to say Reginald.
Scoobert.
Oh.
It's Scoobert.
Scoobert knew.
I was close.
It's the stupidest thing. Anywho's it. So the first episode of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You?, which is called What a Night for a Night, debuted on CBS Saturday, September 13th, 1969, which by the time this cast drops will be about a week and 51 years ago, which is, yes, it has always been. Not that that's terribly old. Anyways, the original Scooby-Doo, Where Are You?, or as we'll probably just keep calling it, Scooby-Doo, was created by writers Joe Ruby and Ken Spears for the Hanna-Barbera Productions. Originally broadcast on CBS from 1969 to 1976, it then moved to ABC. ABC aired various versions of Scooby-Doo until canceling it in 1985. They presented a bunch of spin-offs featuring the characters as children, specifically in a pup named Scooby-Doo.
I remember that. I have
memories of that one.
Yeah.
And that was on from 1988 until 1991. There have been several more spinoffs and reruns from the Scooby-Doo series over the years. The most recent one actually came out in June of 19, and that one's Scooby-Doo and the Guess Who? With a question mark, so I can only do it with my shoulders up. But that premiered on Boomerang's streaming service. I think it's only on Boomerang's streaming service. I wasn't able to find it anywhere else. The original series, which we're going to watch today, features the teenagers Fred Jones, Daphne Blake, Velma Dinkley, and Norville Shaggy Rogers, and their talking brown Great Dane, Scooby-Doo, or Scoobert-Doo.
Norville?
It's Reginald Scoobert-Doo, actually.
Reginald Scoobert-Doo. Well, they go around and try and solve mysteries involving supposedly supernatural creatures through a series of antics and hijinks and missteps and a very carefully laid out exactly what's going to happen every episode scenario.
And also, sometimes the Globetrotters are there.
Yes.
That's true. That's
several times the Globetrotters are there. But the way Scooby-Doo came to being is kind of an interesting story. Do you guys want to go on this journey with me?
Yeah,
I do.
So basically in 1968 to 1969, there was a number of parent advocate groups, a flock of Karens, if you will, that began protesting what they thought was excessive violence in Saturday morning cartoons. The cartoons that they thought were excessively violent were mostly Hanna-Barbera action shows like Space Ghost and Galaxy Trio. They were against Space Ghost and Galaxy Trio.
Wow.
And virtually all of them were canceled by 1969 because of pressure from the parent groups. So this led CBS to be without Saturday morning cartoons, and they needed to figure out something that would entertain kids but not piss off the adults. So the executives of CBS put some people from the parental advocacy groups in with his writers, and the results were The Archie Show, based on Bob Mantana's comic book Archie. Then CBS was like, man, kids really like the musical numbers in this show, and called up Hanna-Barbera and was like, hey, I know how all your shows got canceled, but hold on, can you make this one for us? And tasked them with making a show about a teenage rock band. They wanted it to be part mystery and part Archie, kind of a hybrid between Archie and mystery, which was an interesting order. Barbera, who developed and sold Hanna-Barbera shows, and Hanna, who produced them, passed the task along to story writers Joe Ruby and Ken Spears, as well as the artist character designer Awao Takamoto. So they made a first run at the creation that would eventually be Scooby-Doo. It was called Mysteries 5 and featured five teenagers, which was Jeff, Mike, Kelly, Linda, and Linda's brother, WW. Like, he's just initials. He doesn't get a name. Names. Along with their bongo-playing dog, whose name was Too Much, collectively they formed the band Mysteries 5. This poor dog.
It sounds like an off-brand rapper.
This is Too Much. Oh, gosh. So the first pass didn't work well, and they tried again, but kept the dog Too Much while reducing the number of teenagers to four. They just got rid of Mike because whatever, Mike is gone now. They kept Jeff, Kelly, Linda, and WW, and their personalities were modified. So they changed their names. Jeff became Ronnie, later renamed Fred. Kelly became Daphne, Linda Velma, and WW became Shaggy. After all of this, the show was repitched, and now they called the show Who's Scared? Like, there's multiple S's in it.
That's easy to promote.
And still, executives thought it would be too scary. Reportedly, they didn't even watch the show. They just looked at the art for the show and were like, nah, man, that's too scary. And canceled it before. Like, they just didn't put in productions.
They're like, God, that's too many S's. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, I'm scared just looking at those
they
S's.
They just considered the art too scary for young viewers. And they were like, no, I nixed it. So CBS still needed a centerpiece for the Saturday morning cartoon block that they had to revamp because of the parental groups. So they tried again. This time they toned down the horror parts of the show, focused more on the comedy aspects and the antics that they would get into, made the show art less scary, and then repitched it. So they barely did anything. They just made the show art less ominous, I guess.
Wow.
And repitched it with the title Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? The execs, presumably, were like, yeah, this is way better. Let's go with this, even though it was basically the same show. And that's how Scooby-Doo was made, through some lies and Archie hybrid with ghosts. I don't know. But it was like a long process to get to Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. I can't even imagine the frustration of like them not even watching it, like just basing it off the art and turning it down. Like if I were the animator, I'd be so pissed.
Do exactly what they did, which was here, I swear I changed it. It's a complete different show. And it's right. Just different art.
I want to point out that in the very late 60s, there's a bunch of overbearing parents that got a bunch of good shows canceled. So they created like a bunch of like feel good kind of shows that came out in the early 70s. Mm-hmm. And then there was a rampant drug problem in the mid to late 70s and early 80s. I just want to point that out.
Blaming Scooby-Doo for that?
I'm blaming overbearing moms from the late 60s.
And before we get too far into talking more about Scooby-Doo, I did want to take a moment to talk about Joe Ruby, one of the creators. He recently passed away. So Joe was born in 1933 and passed away, well, now about a week ago at the time of this recording, on August 26th from natural causes after he had a fall. Everything I read about him, it seemed as though Joe was the type of person who worked really hard at what he was passionate about and damned to be anybody who told him otherwise. Reportedly, he wanted to be a cartoonist from a young age, and his father did what all dude bros do and told him he couldn't make money as an artist. Mm-hmm. So he went on to serve in the Korean War as a Navy sonar technician, came back, and then set out to prove his father wrong. And wow. Because of his tenacity, we have an entire history of Saturday morning cartoons and all of the memories that come with it. Joe Ruby is survived by his wife of 63 years, the former Carol Herman, 4 children and 10 grandchildren. So big family.
Wow.
Served in a war, came back, was like, hey, I did the dude bro thing. I'm going to do my art thing now. So, yeah. And then gave us Saturday morning cartoons, essentially. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Didn't think that we could. I really just wanted to say something quickly about him just because he just recently passed and was such an integral part, obviously, of the show. So. Yeah,
quite the legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the voice of Shaggy being Casey Kasem,
like
blew my mind when I connected those dots when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Because like growing up, like that the top songs by Casey Kasem was something that we listened to all the time.
Yes.
And I think like in passing, someone's like, hey, you know, that was the voice of Shaggy. I'm like, shut up. Get out of here.
No way. Yeah.
Come on.
Zoinks.
Yeah. So, like that guy? And Casey Kasem. And then like there's some videos out there of like him, like super old man Casey Kasem still doing that Shaggy voice. And it just absolutely blows my mind every time
that's
I see it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. This show has a legacy. You cannot deny that. Again, it's always been. I think if you went back like before 1969, Scooby-Doo was still there somehow.
Yes.
Like he just.
It's the Archie comic.
There is cave drawings of Scooby-Doo somewhere, you know, like you just have to go find them.
Scoobert-Doo, as he was referred back then.
Reginald Scooby.
Super proper caveman drawing next to him is like a stick drawing of a dog. Stick Pan's just straight up got a doobie in his mouth. Has to be the word doobie because it's the 60s and 70s.
There's like an archaeologist so this caveman was really, really bad at drawing tigers, but really good at drawing Scooby-Doo with a bong. Like, that's quite
oddly
quite
enough,
impressive.
A tiger-shaped bong.
Yeah.
It's a flower vase.
So to reiterate, we are watching episode 16 of season 1 of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? And this is a little confusing. There's a lot of Scooby-Doos.
Yes, there were like just a ridiculous number of short series spinoffs, live action movies, regular series spinoffs, them as kids, them not as kids, but it's not the same series. Like it just.
Yeah. I remember not really liking the one where they were kids.
Yeah. It's like they tried with continuing Scooby-Doo for them to be almost like the Looney Tunes, except they only had very finite characters plus the Globetrotters. And eventually they ran out of combinations, but the original and Scooby-Doo itself is just kind of like a monolithic, always there comfort cartoon. So I'm looking forward to watching it still.
Yeah. Well, let's not delay then. Let's go ahead and watch this episode of Scooby-Doo. And then please join us after the break where we are going to discuss it further.
Because a Weeble's haunted house is a great place to be.
And we're back, guys. Wow. We just finished watching Scooby-Doo. I made a joke early on in the episode. Basically, it's
Brian, you always have to be right.
I do my best. I do my best to be right. Basically, this episode, it's one of those, you know, like, you gotta go stay in this creepy house for overnight or you don't get your inheritance for some reason. And the guy that passed away, Colonel Sanders, I think was his name.
Yeah.
There was a portrait of him above the fireplace and he was in like a military uniform. And I jokingly said, like, man, did he fight for the Confederates? Sure as fucking shit, that guy fought for the Confederates.
Yeah.
You know, every Confederate statue that was recently torn down was like in this guy's house.
In the basement.
In the basement with all the Confederate flags and bunch of cannons and
all the other loser paraphernalia. But I get that it was the 70s and people suck. I get it. But really, like, this is a gosh darn cartoon. Like, it's Scooby-Doo. Why do we have to, like, he was a Confederate. We're going to put Confederate flags and other hateful paraphernalia in his basement and then not make a negative comment about it. Scooby was his friend.
Yeah, I mean, they ended up, it wasn't like it was throughout the entire thing.
That's true.
It did pop up, like, a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the main reason that they made the millionaire or whatever, like his inheritance from that time or whatever was because it was like Confederate money in the end. So it was worthless. Yeah. But the thing is, like, you could make the money worthless in any other way. There are so many different ways you could have played that.
Literal doll hairs.
It could have been Monopoly money. It could have been Canadian money because we know that's not worth anything. It's made of plastic. Like,
But no, they chose to make the dead person a Confederate, and the twist at the end with $1 million was that it was $1 million Confederate dollars and therefore worth nothing, like everything that has to do with the Confederacy. And
I mean, this episode started off the same way that you remember most episodes of Scooby-Doo, where, like, the very first guy that you see that's kind of creepy, you're like, oh, yeah, that's the guy that did it.
We'll take it a step for a little behind that. Like, it started out with just straight-up exposition. Like, they're on a boat on the way to this creepy house, and they're, like, just now reading the newspaper about the guy that died who's given his inheritance to Scooby-Doo. Like, it's like, you're already on a boat on the way there. I think you would have already had this conversation about why you're going to this creepy house.
Yeah, that's true.
They're not all, like, annoyed. They're like, stop reading that. We know.
Scooby saved the colonel from drowning in a fish pond, I guess, is why Scooby was getting an inheritance from this guy.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, I missed
how they met. I just noticed that there was a fishbowl that sometimes had a fish and sometimes not.
Yeah, it wasn't that Scooby was a sympathizer.
That's good, because I can continue to actually watch Scooby-Doo now.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, Saya. It was the first person that you saw that was like, oh, that person's creepy. Clearly they're the bad guy. Also the one that, like, laughed maniacally when they were like, and you must stay in this house for the entire night.
But for like 30 seconds straight, it was a long maniacal laugh.
Yes.
So they were in this mansion with like a bunch of other relatives. I didn't catch their names, but they all had creepy...
Yeah, it was like Cousin Slicker, Cousin Simple, Cousin, like, one was sounded like formaldehyde. I think it was like Cousin Melda. And
they even kind of like reference it later. They're like, oh no, sweet Cousin Meldehyde. Like, sweet, innocent Meldehyde. This is one of those shows where animation was like, you knew where something was going to happen on the screen because that area looked different from the rest of like the background imagery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like when Scooby's in his bathtub and there's clearly like some tiles like on the back wall that are animated different from all the other tiles. You're like, well, that's going to open up and reveal something.
Yeah. There were quite a few animation tricks that you could see, like even Scooby's face, like his muzzle was a different color because he was talking.
Yeah. Now I will say, despite those weird kind of like early animation, you know, hiccups and whatnot, what I really, really loved was the background animation. It was really like watercolor looking, like painting almost, especially when those few instances where they were like outside, hanging off of a downspout, and the ghost just tries to murder Scooby and Shaggy. So they're hanging on this downspout, and it shows like the house and it shows like the background. And it was beautiful. Like it could have been like a recent artist like rendition of like a Scooby-Doo image, but it just, it was
like
the original
poster print almost.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just absolutely beautiful. I really did appreciate that quite a bit.
I think that they were actually brush strokes and it just happened to work out well for the animation in the series that looks really nice, because the background looks great when things are still, it looks really cool. I really appreciated the creepy style of drawing. Like, it was the ghost in this episode, I mean, you know, it's not actually a ghost, but the drawing of the ghost was decently creepy. They did a good job with like the creep factor of it. It's just when they were moving or their eyes were moving, because there was multiple points where like Daphne's eyes look like googly eyes. Like, they were in multiple different directions at any given time. And I think Velma's eyes worked out well because they were behind glasses, so they didn't really have to think about how starkly different the color of the eyes were to like the whites to the skin color. But they didn't do so good with the moving aspects of the animation.
No, Daphne had some issues going on. She needed to probably go see a optometrist or something. Yeah. It was like like literally made us laugh out loud because they were just so crossed in one scene that it was pretty bad.
It's an old cartoon, so there's going to be stuff like this kind of rampant. But even the audio of it, there were a few sections, I don't know if you guys caught, but like, the music was way louder than like their actual dialogue, and it like totally washed it out.
You also note, at least I noticed, that when they were making special effects, they didn't blend the sound down into the episode. It sounded like the chain effects were on top of the episode. Yeah. Like,
I was just going to say the same thing. Scooby-Doo's voice in some scenes, like, it wasn't mixed at all.
Yeah.
Like I'm wearing really good studio headphones, and you're kind of like listening to the scene, and then it sounds like at one point Scooby-Doo is like in the room with you, but everything else is so washed out. It's
like
real
right behind you.
Yeah.
You're like darting and looking behind you like you're actually haunted by Scooby-Doo at this point.
I'm watching you sleep.
Oh, God.
But no, yeah, you know, just, it, I mean, yeah, this was, this came out in 1970. So I, you know, the kind of weird animation hiccups on the audio, they probably never even noticed those audio things back in the day when everything was like mono sound, you know?
Right.
That probably wasn't a big deal back then, but definitely noticeable now. What was really, really noticeable in this episode to me as kind of, off-putting was the laugh track.
Yeah.
Because at some points it was so quiet that it was like, why is this even here? Why is this even a thing? And other times it was like, that's all I could hear was laugh track.
Right.
Can I tell you that I didn't even notice that there was a laugh track?
You didn't notice
it? If you would have asked me, was there a laugh track in this directly after watching it, I it's gone in my brain. I don't remember it.
That was one of the first things I picked up on.
Huh.
That one was, it was weirdly mixed in as well.
Maybe there was just too much noise going on to really discern what was laugh track and what was googly eyes.
And that's the thing, too, is these episodes are remastered. So that could have just been something that got kind of messed up, you know, translating it from standard def to high def. Certainly, I don't imagine that they actually remastered all the audio. I don't think they did that. Or even maybe they didn't even have access to the raw tracks. It was just like, let's try to clean this up the best that we could.
Let's see what happens when we do this.
Essentially. But last thing on the audio for me, at least, was I kind of fucking dug the music like the entire time.
Yeah. There were some points where it was a little loud. The mix itself wasn't really lending to the music. It kind of made it a little noisy. But when you could hear the music, like, it was good.
It was pretty good. And they did, like the hardest hit and nostalgia for me was the bongo sound when like Scooby's in the air, like doing the running motion.
Yeah. Oh, away. Yeah.
And all that made me think is like the original, you said like originally he was supposed to play the bongos. I wonder if like that was the same track or something left
that's
over
a good
from
point.
It.
If that's a leftover from too much, the bongo playing dog.
Too much.
Do you think he constantly played too much bongos and that's why his name was Too Much?
I think that's too much.
Poor puppy.
That's the kind of world I want to live in. For me, it was the sound effect when they fall. It was a phew. Like that.
Yeah,
one,
like that.
Yeah, like, that was really good, actually.
Thank you, I've been practicing.
The slide whistle or whatever that it is.
Yeah, whatever it is, that is an iconic Scooby-Doo sound effect. Mm-hmm. I will say.
There's not too much to say for the actual storyline of it. I mean, it's kind of your basic Scooby-Doo episode. They're running from these ghosts. Probably the most like notable part was Fred's attempt at catching them.
It's very simple.
where he sets up this
like a Rube Goldberg machine.
Yeah, like a Rube Goldberg machine in order to catch him, where he's gonna lure them into this room, into the laundry room, and then he's gonna tell Scoob to switch on this fan that will blow them across the floor that has soap covered on it, and they'll slide into a ironing board that's spring-loaded that launches them into the washing machine where it'll wash off their makeup and they'll be able to see that, because they already suspected that they were just people.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't just throw soapy water at them, I have no idea.
And then Shaggy was like, seems complex, and Fred is like, not complex, simple, like you dumb fuck. Yeah. They're just gonna slide in these bubbles, hit a spring-loaded ironing board, and then go in the washing machine, you idiot.
I just watched the movie Home Alone from the future. I figured out how this is gonna work. They're gonna slide, there'll be some nails, somebody will die, but we'll find out if they're human or not.
So Scooby messes it up and hits it on reverse, the fan, which is so powerful that it pulls the washing machine and Shaggy along with it, and then takes the ironing board somehow with it, crashes into Scooby, and then magically turns the entire thing into a motherfucking airplane.
Yeah.
I am not making that up. That is really what happens.
Which is such a weird direction to go in.
And then there's this whole scene with, I mean, it's the classic Scooby-Doo scene where they're going in and out of doors and rooms, and like sometimes they're being chased and sometimes they're chasing the ghosts or whoever the bad guy is in the episode. And it goes on, honestly, for so long that I was confused as to what was going on for a second, because it went on for far too long.
Yeah, and it got more and more obvious that it was just them killing time with animation that they already had, because it kept cutting back to animation that they already did, and then animation that didn't make sense. And then, I mean, you know, the background continuously scrolling, mm-hmm. except for like 45 seconds.
Yeah. So they killed some time, and then eventually the ghosts ended up inside the washing machine that throughout the entire plane adventure retained its soapy water and bubbles. And they didn't drown the ghosts, they just caught them in there and said, now they're all washed up. That's their catchphrase. Their
Nailed
literal
it.
Catchphrase, because they just caught them. Catchphrase. Oh, goodness.
You should be a writer for Scooby-Doo.
Oh, thanks. That's after watching this episode, that's certainly a compliment.
But then, upsettingly enough, they didn't do the "and I would have gotten away with it too" line. That did not happen in this episode.
Yeah, so I think you pointed out, you're like, where's the meddling kids line?
Yeah, that was a bummer.
A little bit of a bummer.
Had every opportunity.
They did.
They sum it up with the cops that are like, oh, it was them all along.
It was honestly, I mean, that's another Scooby-Doo classic kind of cliche at that point, too, is like cops show up and they say, here's their convoluted plan that you somehow thwarted. And instead of just like never telling you guys that you were supposed to come to the island, they chose instead to scare you away from the island so that these lawyers could then inherit the money, which is not how laws work, by the way. They wouldn't just get to keep the $1 million.
Also, those lawyers never like looked at the money and was like, oh shit, that's Confederate money. It means nothing. This whole plan, these stupid lawyers.
This plan that involved getting replica dummies of all of the people that were supposed to come to the island mansion thing. But they didn't open the box to see if the money was actually worth anything.
This was an expensive hoax, and they got nothing out of it.
What were the lawyers' names again? Like Creeps and Crawl? The office, yeah. The lawyer's, yeah. Office, Creeps and Crawl?
Yeah, this episode had like two of my least favorite things. It had Confederates and it had lawyers. So, I'm going to try not to let it affect my rating too much, but we'll see what happens.
Well, before we get into that, I have a little bit of facts if you guys wanted to.
Are they fun? Please tell me they're fun.
Some of them are fun. My first one is not very fun.
Scooby-Doo is actually a Nazi sympathizer.
He was supposed to be a sheepdog, though.
He was. So at the time of recording this, Scooby-Doo is 51 years old, making Scooby 696 years old in dog years.
He's immortal, right?
If you want to get morbid about it, if they were to do a live action, that's 7 Great Danes worth of Scooby-Doos.
Oh, my God. Oh. Wow.
Do you remember when I asked you 5 seconds ago if these were fun facts? That is grossly depressing.
Oh, it depends on your definition of fun. So, Scooby's name was inspired from a line from a Frank Sinatra song. The Frank Sinatra song, Strangers in the Night. One of the lines goes, doobie doobie doo. And supposedly Scooby, that's where it came from.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
I'll do one more because I know that first one.
Don't let my glare stop you. Continue with your facts.
So it's not a surprise that Scooby-Doo has made quite a bit of money for the creators, given that it's been on the air for so long. But just from 2015 to 2017, it reportedly made $1.3 billion in merchandise sales.
What?
So,
jeez,
it's no wonder it's still going and it has so many live action movies.
That just blew my mind. Who is buying so many Scooby-Doo figurines and t-shirts?
You know,
it just sells.
Not that long ago, Velma became a sex symbol, so that might have something to do with it too.
I want to ask the history behind that. I do. I don't know if this is the right forum for finding out how that became a thing or why you know it, but we'll have to talk after the show because what?
I'm an open book, Kayla. I mean, we'll discuss it.
To the listeners, I promise our aim is not to ruin these cartoons for you. This one, it totally seems like that was our aim.
No.
All I'll say is everyone secretly has always loved the nerdy girl. That's all I'll say, you know?
All right. Well, do we have any more fun facts or anything that's light in the feel?
7 Great Danes. No, I'm gonna.
Well, with that said, we'll be right back.
Meet Frightlight Scooby-Doo. Grab him, and he talks.
Who's taught me?
And we're back. Well, as we do on this podcast, we are going to give our review on the show that we just watched. What is our scale this week? I'm going to say that our scale is on 0 to 5 rut-ohs. I think that's appropriate.
That works.
I wasn't sure if you were going to go rut-ohs, Scooby snacks, or dogs that played Scooby. So I'm glad we ended with the 0 to 5 rut-ohs.
Zero to five dead Great Danes.
Oh, no. I know we're out of that section now, but I just want to know, did you sit and calculate the average lifespan of a Great Dane in order to figure out how long?
You bet your ass I did. That is not a fact I looked up online.
Because correct me if I'm wrong, Great Danes tend to have a shorter lifespan than average dog, right?
They do.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why there's 7 of them to span 51 years.
Yeah.
8 to 10.
Anywho. Kayla, why don't you lead us off today?
So it's hard for a show. It's hard to measure a show, I think, in watching one episode, but that's what we attempt to do. I think it makes it more difficult when it's a show like Scooby-Doo that we feel has been around for forever. It kind of has this monolithic, always there thing, and you know the storyline, and you know the characters. And I mean, you could have asked me before we watched this episode what the plot of this episode was, and without reading it, I could have told you. But even with all of those things, it being an older cartoon, I still enjoyed it. It still kept my interest. I wish that there wasn't such an insidious prevalence of racially charged nonsense and straight up racist nonsense in these older cartoons.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's insidious and it's systemic and it's implanted in these cartoons. And that always, obviously, more than bums me out. But the animation itself with the artwork, not so much the moving parts of animation, good. I can see what they were doing with the sound effects and with the music. Also good. So I'm probably going to end up giving it a middle of the road 2.5 rut rows. So a rut instead of a rut row. So it gets 2.5 for me.
Nice.
So, you know, a respectable.
This by far has been the most interesting cartoon to kind of break down as far as like the animation and the creation of it. I feel like the entire time watching it, I was really kind of immersed in like the matte paintings and stuff that they were doing for mm-hmm. it. In the sound effects along with it, you got more of a sense of how things were made. And even though it was kind of sloppy in sections, it was still really interesting. So it's difficult to rate because I try to think about these cartoons in a sense of like how I would be entertained back when I was a kid and how I'm enjoying them now. And the answer is like, they're very different ratings when I look at it that way. there's quite a few things that I didn't like. It's still an interesting show. I was still entertained. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like Kayla said, the stuff that they shouldn't have touched on, and it shouldn't have been in there at all. It's bullcrap that it was. I'm probably just going to give it a 2. I'm going to give it 2 rut rows. That's it.
2 rows. Yeah, I'm kind of having a hard time with it too. I think I might like think about my ratings like too much because like I'm going to give it a star for the visuals, which I loved. I thought visually it looked beautiful. Maybe not Daphne's crazy eyes or, you know, some of the animation stuff, but like it oozed style. And that was really cool. I really enjoyed that. I think the putting in the Confederate stuff, it was definitely bad, but it wasn't like some of the other things we watched where like, you know, with DuckTales where it had like pretty bad depiction of like a stereotypical like native person or, you know, with the Flintstones where it was like, well, this is just straight up like sexism. I think I kind of looked at it more along the lines of like, yeah, this, you know, it's, you know, he was a Civil War vet or something. And he, you know, what's the best way to depict that? Well, the Confederate, they had a different flag than the American flag or something, like maybe not as insidious, but like it still shouldn't have been there. So I'm like really on the fence with it. I think it would have been worse if like that guy was actually in the episode, like the colonel was like the bad guy, or if he was like, well, we caught you. Like, luckily he was like already dead. So it's like, cool, he's gone. We don't have to worry about him anymore. So it's really tough with that. So like, if I took that out of the equation, I really, really enjoyed this episode quite a bit. It wasn't crazy funny. And I think the things that I found the most funny were like things that I don't think they expected us to laugh at, you know?
Fair.
Right.
So I'm going to...
Like the googly eyes?
The googly eyes or just, you know, the campiness of it. So I'm going to give it 2 ratings. Taking out the Confederate stuff, I'm going to give it a 4 rut-os. That's my rating for that. And then putting in the Confederate stuff, I'm going to give it a 1 dead Great Dane.
Oh my God. So
those are
a singular dead Dane.
So those are kind of the 2 ratings that I would get it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. It reminded me why I liked that show as a kid. And now coming back as an adult, finding things that adult me likes in it, like the art, the kind of the watercolor, the actual brush strokes, you know. It's pretty cool to see that. I'm done watching episodes that have, like, you know, negative, you know, racial and, you know, other stuff in it. We're not doing this on purpose. This just happens to be how it works.
I think that that's a good point to bring up, even just briefly, is that when I say insidious, I do mean that word, because it sits in culture and it grows a negative feeling and a negative connotation. And when I think about watching this as a kid, if I was young when this first came out, I would see that stuff and they didn't make any comments or any disparaging remarks aside from the fact that the Confederate money was no longer worth something. And I think that's a poor message. And that's why I think that I really feel that it's insidious. And then when we look at all of these older cartoons, it's everywhere. So of course it's going to make it harder to root that out of our culture. And when we started seeing images of it as kids and it wasn't presented in the way that it should be, which was a negative light or with truth around the history of it in the very, very least. So that's what I mean when I say insidious. I don't think it's like, what was the movie Insidious? The one with a creepy like Raiju monster that was in the background. I'm not imagining a Confederate flag waving Raiju demon. I'm just saying that it's so pervasive in these older cartoons and in our culture because it's in these older cartoons and people see, well, you know, you see it and it doesn't strike you or isn't presented in a negative light. And it's easier for you to accept it or make it palatable as something that's like, oh yeah, it's fine. When no, know what I mean?
I think that insidious is the right word for it, because it really had to be two things. It was either they put it in there to be insidious, or they didn't even like think about it. It was just, so they were so blasé about it, like, well, this couldn't possibly offend anyone, and if it did, we don't really care if a particular group of people got offended. Which either way, fuck that, you know what I mean?
You're sitting in your privilege very firmly to not realize that that would have any kind of impact on somebody.
But I, you know, putting that aside, what was left there was fine. It was fine. It was Scooby-Doo. But you know what's going to be better than fine, and I would even argue it's going to be great, is our game tonight.
Yes. I don't think you guys are prepared for this.
I have challenged my co-host here to a little exercise where, for those of you who are even vaguely familiar with Scooby-Doo, you will know that Scooby is obsessed with something called Scooby Snacks. Actually, now that I think about it, also Shaggy is as well. They must be amazing.
They're edibles.
Oh, my God. There's not much that Scooby-Doo would not do for a Scooby Snack, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've challenged my two co-hosts, and I will also play along. We are going to go around the table and say what our Scooby snack is. So I will tell you what my Brian snack is. And then the other two are going to give scenarios and ask, would you do this for a Brian snack? And I have to pick the one that I would absolutely not do for a Brian snack. Mm-hmm. The person that creates the worst scenario or has the most worst scenarios is going to be the winner today. So to make it easier on the two co-hosts, I will go first. Back in the 90s, there was this snack that was made by Planters. Planters, like the peanut company, where it was like a crispy, like outer, like shell that was like sweet, almost like a cookie, but like puffy. And inside was Planters peanut butter. And I was obsessed with those goddamn things.
They're not ringing a bell.
I'll show you a picture. It might spark some memories, but like, I'm not even joking. It's got to be at least a few times a year. I Google just to see if they happen to have been brought back or someone else has been talking about them.
That's like obsessive.
It is. It's a problem. And they discontinued them in like the early 2000s. And it was really upsetting for me personally.
So even if you could find them, they're probably past their expiration date.
Yes, they are definitely. And I belong to a blog of like-minded people who were also obsessed with these peanut butter snacks.
You belong to a whole community about these snacks?
I sure do. And every once in a while, someone goes on there and goes, no, I swear, there's this random company that makes something that tastes exactly like them. And I have gone above and beyond to get my hands on these snacks to try them, and none of them have lived up to my memory of these peanut butter snacks.
Wow.
I was obsessed with them. They were the best.
I'm a little shocked. I haven't heard about this addiction before that you have, right?
I try not to, like, you know, I wanted to keep this from my friends and family. I didn't want you guys to think less of me. But that is my Brian snack, and there's probably not a lot that I wouldn't do to have one of these again. So your guys' scenarios better be pretty terrible. Wow.
Okay, well, I think the way that I understood the game to be played is for you, Sai and I would each come up with a terrible, terrible choice to make, and you would essentially have to pick which one you're not going to do in order to get the Scooby snack. So correct. I think that we have competing ideas. Sai, would you like to go first or second?
I'll go first.
Okay.
So your scenario, Brian, that you would have to do for your delicious peanut
cookie
butter
snack
treat is to take a summer job installing live, laugh, love signs in people's homes without the use of a ladder. Instead, your coworker, the great Shaquille O'Neal, will boost you for every sign.
No way. Okay, are you ready for this? Because Brian, in order for you to obtain these delicious cookie treats for an entire year, every podcast commercial, every commercial on television, every time you hear somebody advertising for anything, an entire year, it's Shaq. It's Shaq. Every single thing. And at the end, and I swear to God, I have this written down. At the end of every advertisement, he signs off with, remember, to live, laugh, love.
Oh my God. For the listeners who might not know, that's Brian's like least favorite saying.
He also doesn't like Shaq very much.
So on one hand,
you look legitimately pissed right now.
So on one hand, I have to listen to Shaq and like every piece of media that I love.
Have to be on edge for any commercial. Anytime like you get to that break point in a podcast you're listening to where you normally have like 5 seconds before you can hit the skip, always Shaq in your ears.
I'm gonna say, Kayla, I would not do that for a Brian snack. And here's why. I would prefer to work with Shaq for a couple of reasons.
You're like rage sweating. I mean, you're so mad.
There's a chance that just real life everyday Shaq might be a cool guy. It might just be his TV persona that I really don't like. And if that's not the case, and if I hate him just as much in person as I do in the media, I can kill him with a claw hammer. And then just be done with it. Kayla's is pure torture.
Yeah.
And I love you a little less for having of created that scenario. So congratulations, I think.
Wow.
That's 1 point for me.
All right. I'll go next. So I don't have like a sweet tooth per se. Like I like sweets. I had trouble coming up with my snack. The first thing that came to mind was like Dunkaroos. And those were really good, but I remember kind of getting sick off of them before. So I went with chimichangas.
That's appropriate, yes.
I don't think I've ever had a chimichanga I don't like. There are different degrees of really good chimichanga. But yeah, I'd do just about anything for a chimichanga.
Kayla, destroy your husband.
Okay. Please still love me after this. So much like how Brian has to listen to somebody he doesn't like in every promotion for an entire year, your torturous situation is instead of it being Shaq, it's Taylor Swift. And instead of saying live, laugh, love, she chomps into the meatiest, boniest, crunchiest, disgusting barbecue chicken wing, and then crunches ice at the end.
Oh, God.
So if you ever slip and let a commercial play or let a promotion play on a podcast, turn the radio on at the wrong time, it's Taylor Swift smacking her lips in your ears, bringing you commercials.
Ooh.
Brian?
Okay, Josiah.
Jeez.
For a Josiah snack, would you, every single time you heard a motorcycle, you would have to eat a full banana and a giant dill pickle?
Oh, oh.
And watch a half hour YouTube video of someone lip smack eating barbecue ribs?
Oh, my God.
Every time you heard a motorcycle.
So where we currently live, because that's a lot of motorcycles.
Oh, so all your media.
I have to pick the worst one, right?
You have to pick the one that you would not do.
Okay.
I also want to point out that you are also displaying rage qualities.
Because I can imagine it so easily, and it's physically upsetting.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for our listeners that don't know, you absolutely have the, like, it is an immediate rage reaction if anybody is crunching ice, smacking their lips, eating in any way. I have no idea how you process this podcast because, well, we don't do it intentionally. I'm sure there's lip smacking at some points.
I'm going to go
horrifically competitive and very confident.
I think I'm going to go with yours. And here's why. I know I need to eat more bananas. So I feel like at least there's a positive in the end of Brian's scenario.
And I think pickles have decent potassium too. So, you know, like, yeah, I'm really
in the end, it's helping me.
You are going to be so full.
I'll just get you a really nice pair of like earplugs, sound canceling headphones. No motorcycles. Okay, so I had a hard time thinking of a food item that there isn't many things I would do for, but coffee in general, coffee in any of its forms, iced, frozen, just, I don't know, mainlined, powdered form, I need it. So my Kayla snack is just the beverage coffee.
Yeah, I've never seen you turned on coffee. All right. So for your Scala, your scenario is you must compete in a marathon in which all the participants are forced to crawl the entire race.
Oh, absolutely. Fuck you.
On their hands
God
and knees.
Damn it.
With the added bonus that their shoes and gloves would have nails that would be protruding from them.
No!
And the entire track is chalkboard.
We're getting a divorce. What the fuck?
That just sounds terrible.
For anyone who doesn't know, Kayla has a fear of contortionism. I know it has a legitimate name, but...
Oh, gosh, I'm so gross right now.
I apologize for nothing.
Enjoy Taylor Swift.
Mine was extremely similar, but mine was anytime Zeke begs you for food, you are visited by a contortionist who crawls up to you and rubs basil in your face.
Oh, God.
First off, I'm going to rehome Zeke. So, second, I'm allergic to basil. You're going to kill me.
But Josiah's was diabolical. So.
Yeah. You know, when I see somebody crawling, I immediately want to vomit and I get very scared. And so I think after a while, even if I kept Zeke and didn't immediately rehome him after the first time that I'm assaulted with something I'm allergic with, eventually I would just, I don't know, spend all of my money on EpiPens and they wouldn't be able to find me because I would be destitute in the street. So I am absolutely never... ever going to compete in a competition where you have to crawl, let alone on chalkboard.
Oh, I knew that would get you.
No. Brian, I'm so sorry. I don't think you had a chance to win this competition because we know how to destroy each other because we're married.
You guys are married, yeah. I mean, I'm sure Patricia could come up with a scenario that would absolutely destroy me. I would just say that she just, you know, once a day has to have a conversation with someone who thinks they know everything about dogs. They think pit bulls are dangerous and the alpha beta theory. And that would just be enough to send Trisha over.
I could see that.
She would lose her shit.
She would just murder somebody. She'd be like, well, once a day I kill someone. So I guess that's how this goes.
So we just found out that, you know, married couples can destroy each other. Should they choose to do so?
Yes, we have our fingers hovering over the nuclear button. Mutually assured marriage destruction.
Yeah. Yeah.
This was fun.
Hope you guys stay together forever because I'm probably not going to like either of you post-divorce. Just two like husk of human beings just going out through life. You're okay with babies crawling, right? Like babies crawling is fine?
Yes.
Is that why you don't want to see Evie? It's not even COVID related? You're just like,
no,
I don't want
to
see
her. No, you're going to make me cry. I want to see your kids. No, it used to be much worse. I'm getting better as I get older. And I've noticed that it is contortionism, not specifically crawling. Gotcha. So like even at like circus shows or attractions when people can pop their shoulders out of place or fit themselves into boxes, it's like an immediate physical response. Yeah. Don't want to be there. Want to puke.
I think you're good. By the rate Evie's going, she's going to be doing fucking somersaults in like a couple weeks.
Yeah, as long as she's not like crawling at me crab walk style, we'll be good.
I'll do my best to not teach Olivia how to do that because she totally will. Well, this was fun. Sai, what's up with Grace? Now, you posted quite a few videos since our last upload.
I've been doing some more projects. The last one that I did at the date of this recording was my metal casted eagle talon.
Yeah, it's fucking definitely cool.
Thank you. I definitely have some more in the works as far as blacksmithing metal work. If you're interested in any of that kind of stuff, come check out Grace Note Forge at YouTube and give him a watch.
Yeah, you guys gotta check it out. That talon is like, it's badass.
Thanks.
I want like one to go between like each one of my fingers and just like.
Yeah, whoa. I made a whole bunch of them and that's the first thing I did.
100%. 100%.
I know you did, bro. I know you did.
I think I have a photo somewhere of you with the meat claws that you use to shred up like a side of pork, holding them like your Wolverine in the middle of a Menards. So.
And Kayla, what does Cartoon Tonic have coming down the pipeline?
So right now, if you're listening to this, it's maybe the month of September in the year 2020. Sorry about the year. But that is to say that right now we are running our review campaign, I guess we'll call it. So for the month of September, if you head over to Facebook or Apple Podcasts, anywhere that you listen to your podcast and drop us a review, hopefully that you like us, let us know what you're loving. That will enter you into a contest where we are going to pick one review person each week in the month of October, announce that you have won some very cool Cartoon Tonic swag, and send you some sweet stuff in the mail, all for the price of just like, I don't know, 50 seconds of your time and a 5-star review. So wherever you listen to us, drop us a line or head over to Facebook and let us know that you are enjoying what you're hearing. Like us, follow us while you're over there. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, Cartoon Tonic Podcast, are all three. And we also have a Gmail, which is cartoontonicpodcast@gmail.com.
I literally could not have said it better myself. I've tried.
Do you want to try?
It's too much pressure. I can't.
Oh, goodness.
Well, that's
Brian,
all, folks.
We never asked you. We never asked you what's up with you. Brian, what's going on in the life of Brian?
I'm not doing comedy because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing lots of video games because of COVID. I'm sitting inside of my house an awful lot because of COVID. I've been writing to keep myself sane. I write and I like to picture that there's a light at the end of this tunnel and it's coming relatively soon. That's how I keep going. So, yeah. If and when this goes away and it's safe to go back in public, I do plan to start hitting the comedy scene.
Excellent.
Much harder than I ever have been. So I'm really hoping that I'm able to do that. And just, I don't know, keep an eye out for that.
Awesome. I'm excited.
And, you know, I love you guys. That's it.
Aw, we love you too.
You too.
That's all, folks.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
That's it. Daphne, this is a musical riddle.
Did the guy leave that note for himself? Like, I don't remember what the password is for my secret lair.
Listen, I have a sticky note of passwords at work, so...
That are all in riddle form, okay?
At Cartoon Tonic, we drink responsibly and hope you do too. Thanks for listening.